Blog Talk Radio.
TMP. Zoom in, get a good look. Yeah, it's me. Know where the fuck I'm from?
We don't play.
Yo. I'm reppin' LG and I'm the next great heavyweight. About to be the champ, nigga, every weight never safe. Level of potential, damn near out of space. About to skip the nigga who next, and I bet he wait. Ready for whatever, I'm coming fully equipped. About to show him how to fit, drop me a few hits. I think big, I just extended the clip. Yeah, we might party, but we will get on some bullshit. I thought I told you buffoons to stay tuned. I know I kept saying soon, they say I'm a late bloom. Gave it a little gas, I got him smelling the fumes. Blew past, now your career in the rear like views. First thing you learn soon as you step out the womb is rep your hood until you go to the tomb. Gotta tidy up the game, suggesting you make room, cause I'm about to make a clean sweep like a broom. I know you wonder why he acting like that. How my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off. Honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. Yeah. You should never bite the hands that feed you. And I don't know who's running that feast, but I wanna eat too. I came through, stole the shine like a thief do. Now the honeys wanna lock me down like police do. Why your face all in my book? Oh, you can read too. Crowd in my space, fake friends so see-through. My man Mano told me how I should greet you. First I say hi, wave bye, then delete you. You not impressed, but I promise you'll be amazed. With the bins, with the rims, a year over legal age. It's Avatar Blue and they finding it kinda strange that when the sun shines, every time it move, the color change. It's Baker, and I've been on a steady grind. BK all day, Empire State of Mind. I hope you reppin' yours just like I be reppin' mine. Having trouble understanding, rewind it a few times. I know you wonder why he acting like that. How my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off. Honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I don't give a fuck if I've been gone for a while. It's like I did a bid right after I blew trial. I kill haters, dump the bodies in the pile. And my only two weapons is a high and a smile. Was given a few chances, made it all good. Across big bodies of water, repping my hood. Real niggas show love just like I knew that they would. And the ones who said I couldn't do it, wishing that they could. They wanna get me out the game cause they mad. Trying to say I'm taking performance enhancers for the swag. I laugh while I'm shopping for body bags. But I think it's kinda sad, a few toes need tags. I got riches now, came up out the rags. My life's so fab, I just throw it in the bag. They kicked me when I was down, even throwing a few jabs. If you didn't fuck with me, bet now you're wishing you had. I know you wonder why he acting like that. How my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off. Honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn.
Big L nigga.
this guy Keith Murray.
From New York into the world over, I walk in seas like Jesus walking water. Keith Murray is this Mike Tyson, Super Bowl capitalist analyst. And the moderation integration of my behavior is entertainment from my vocabulation accumulation. Strictly Death Squad LOD takes.
Y'all mythological niggas is comical. The astronomical is coming to life. The flu bomb and embalming in your group too. With the musical, mystical, magical, you know how I do. But word attack skills and vocabulary too. All the history of this edition is all brand new. Get through. I'm interplanetary and like Doctor Who. So who? Wanna get tripped on, word is bold. I've kicked around since the 8M vote just wrong. Now Quincy, but I'm back on the block and not selling crap. I'm coming in with the fact, bust flows and tracks. So what you saying, Black? With all that yakety yak. My artifacts can't be beat with back. I'm saying, I eat everything up on the menu and venue and send you swaying to be continued. The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that. I get it. The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that. The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that. The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
In a moment, opponents and suspects caught up in the reach of the taste of rain and the text. Least I speak, my constant freak. The itch me, sun cheek, funk figures of speech. Now that shit is in the open, I'm open, token, scoping, waiting for the next nigga to get open on and break them down like an organic compound. That's the way of the world as the earth goes round. Now, how the fuck you sound? I represent my clique like a 4 pound. You better pack your leather dope for medication. From the shaking meditation, from the earthquake and shit that we be making. Never faking, I can sound from my crown clown. Shaking the membrane of encyclopedia brown. Speaking of funk in any throwdown. Why you sing sound of it?
The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
I give it ya.
The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
I give it ya.
I come down, breaking ground. So back up, vote for me and sit your ass down. Now, when I'm on the microphone, I roam through zones. But don't be trying this shit at home. No matter what race, creed, color, help my heart. I come cleaner than Jay Roof and damage your amateur. The prodigal face is disordered to cut. I'll assassin thanks to character's caliber. I channel my anger from the double-edged finger and turn it to the microphone stringer. Stop trying to see where your eyes can follow. Say goodnight to the world and goodbye to tomorrow. Your raven cut, so it's a much chicken butt. We're not to the fuck with doors they lock. For eternity through infinity, I eternally get in ya. The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
I get in ya.
The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
I get in ya.
The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
In the next bitch, no need for you to ever sweat the next bitch. With speed, I make the best bitch see the exit. Indeed, you gotta know you're thoroughly respected. By me, you get the keys to the Lexus, but no driving, got your own 96 something. The ride and keep gas tighter than Versace. That's why you gotta watch your friends, you got to watch me. They connive and shit, first chance to crack for bank. They'll try me, all they get is 50 cent francs. And we'll buy it from the village to the belly. Time to kill it on your belly, no question. Have more black chicks between my sheets than Nexus. They say sex is a weapon, so when I shoot, meet your death in less than 8 seconds. Still pounding in my afterlife, laughing. My shit is tight. Who you asking, right? Fresh to death in Moschino. Coach bag looking half black and Filipino. Thinking no jazz fever to feel important. Surrounded your feet and Jonah Davis and Charles Jordan. I keep you dug with love. You know these hoes be making me weak. Y'all know how it goes, B. And so I creep. I've been sinning since you've been playing with Barbie and Kenny. You can't change a player's game in the ninth inning. The chrome rim spinning keeps them grinning. So I run, way to fuck up in them and wrinkle their face like linen. I play hard until they say, God, he's keeping it real. Jigga, stay hard. Lord, don't even trip. I never slip, nigga, get a grip. What you don't see is what you get. Weapons concealed, what the fuck y'all feel? When your niggas play sick, we can all get it.
What the deal? Ain't no nigga like the one I got.
No one can fuck you better.
Sleeps around, but he gives me a lot.
Keeps you in diamonds and leather.
Friends, they tell me I should leave you alone.
Monogamous, I try, but love, you know these hoes be making me weak. Y'all know how it goes, be so I stay deep.
What up, boo? Just keep me laced in the illest snake. Bank rolls and shit, back rubs in the French tub. Mackin' this bitch, wifey nigga. So when you flip that coat, remember the days you were dead broke. But now you styling, I raised you, basically made you into a dawn, flipping weight, hair on and shit. You know the pussy is all that. That's why I can forget 5 carats and all that. From Dolce, Gabbana to H. Bendel, I'm ringing bells. So who the player? I still keep you in the illest gators. Tailor made so we can lay up in the shade, reminiscing on how I fuck the best of shit. Especially when I'm sipping Baileys. Don't give a fuck on how you move with them other mommies. I push the Z, eating shrimp, skimpy with rocks larger than life. Fuck them Reebok broads, you made it known who your wife was. I got you fronting in Armani sweaters before this rap shit when you was in levers and bullshit Berettas and E-classes with Mo in the glasses, shows in Cali with all the flavor Sway Valley. Now all your mentors up in your Benzes, hot poles. I swear you be killing me playing this on my pubic hairs. I never worry about the mother chick, cause you proved who was your whiz when you was spending that bitch. I tripped a little when you was up north, your commissary stayed pallid. Now you living large on the island, all them collects had me vexed. But when you come home, knew I was coming off with half of them checks. Now we on the ride, your diamond mommy with the slanted eyes. Holding this brick, cock the English gear, your shit. Fuck no, I see half of that dough, make you into a star. Push a $100,000 card.
Ain't no nigga like the one I got.
No one can fuck you better.
Sleeps around, but he gives me a lie.
Keeps you in diamonds and leather.
Friends, they tell me I should leave you alone.
Tell the freaks to find a man at AO. Man at AO.
Ain't no nigga like the one I got.
No one can fuck you better.
What's up? It's your girl, Ab, filling in for Brooklyn Black on Pregame Radio. That's right, you're listening live to Pregame Radio. I'm chilling, doing my thing. The last three songs you heard, well, the first was Ill and Al's Scratch, Where's My Homies? Because I want to know, where my homies at tonight? Where y'all at? What y'all doing? Why y'all bitches ain't here? But in all reality, my closest homies, Aisha, Nick, Charlene, Peace, they're all in three different states. So my homies ain't close, but they close in my heart. Second song you heard was Keith Murray, the most beautiful thing in the world. And last but not least, definitely Jay-Z, Ain't No Nigga, because this just ain't no nigga like me. It's just not. Also on the line, we got my co-host for the evening, Spider. Spider, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, mama.
Glad to hear you want to check in. What's popping? How you doing? Where you at? Sound like you outside.
Oh, I'm outside enjoying the cool breeze out here in Atlanta, Florida, doing my little thing, you know, representing for Brooklyn out here.
All right, that's what it is. Well, you know, Brooklyn Black is the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. He got all type of gigs going on. So when he has to go, you know, us co-hosts, we got to hold it down. So, like I said, glad that you called in. On a check-in.
Yeah, not
you know,
a problem.
What's ironic, I was just thinking about the last three songs I played. They all came out within a 2 or 3 year span of each other. And it's kind of odd, well, not really, but out of the three, only one is even really relevant right now. And that's Jay-Z, you know what I mean? Ill and Al Scratch, they had one or two joints, you know, and it was cool. But we haven't really heard too much from them. Not to say they're not doing nothing. They could easily be, you know, producing, you know, doing A&R, finding talent, bringing it to the studio, to the company, you know, artist development. They could be doing things. Not to say that they fell off the earth completely, but they're just not making music. They're not recording right now. And Keith Murray, what happened to him? Whatever happened to Keith Murray? Do you know?
Honestly, I haven't, you know, the last few years I've been dealing with the whole military thing, so I've been kind of out of the loop, to be honest with you. Only people I've really been following is my man Jay. You know, I've stuck with him. Actually, he's the one that got me into hip-hop, believe it or not. I started kind of late in the game when it came to listening to other things other than rock and roll and stuff like that, you know.
All right. That's what it is. Well, we're going to get into another song real quick, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss some current events. All right, now I'm going to play MC Light Milk D Top Billing. This is me and Brooklyn's Black. This is our theme song, actually. This is our brother-sister Brooklyn Hood song, and this is actually his ringtone on my phone. So this is for you, son. I know you're listening in, sucker, checking in, thinking you going to see what's going on. We holding it down, nigga. Don't even stress. Just do what you do. Here you go. Top Billing.
Check it out. MCMI, people call me Milk. When I'm busting up a party, I feel no guilt. Milk is cutting up for the suckers that down with me. The one of us, that's how I feel. To be down, you must appeal to the two.
Everybody knows, or maybe you don't, MC Light and Milk D are, in fact, brother and sister. So the song is quite fitting for Brooklyn Black and myself. Don't you agree, Spider?
No, I'm just listening. I'm hearing you. That's fitting.
Well, check it out. I got a question now. You know, I'm not really a sports fan. I had my moments. You know, I was a fan back when Ewing and Mark Jackson, you know, and the others, and what's his name, Webb, when they were playing.
Back during the Scottie Pippen days.
Yeah, those, you know, the back in the good old days, man.
Yeah.
You know, so I haven't really followed sports. You know, you hear things, and it seems like the more you hear about athletes, it's more about their personal lives and they're fucking up than what they're actually doing on the court. So, can you fill me in on this Lamar Odom thing? Now, you know, I don't watch Chloe and Lamar. I just don't. But I just happened to stumble across it the other day, and they had just moved to Dallas. He was going to the Mavericks, and she was looking for a place to live so they would not be living out of a hotel. And, I mean, I think earlier today I heard something about he's no longer playing with the Mavericks. Can you elaborate for me what's going on with that?
The biggest thing I know about concerning that entire thing is that I'd say about a week ago, and I can't confirm or deny because I really don't follow basketball like that. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a baseball fan, and go Yankees, by the way.
Okay.
But from what I'm hearing, it's pretty much the same thing, that he left Dallas due to. I'm thinking that Chloe has something to do with it. It's being rumored that it's something about the contract and not enough money and so on and so forth. They may be interrupting some of his endorsements. But from what I understand, the rumor is, and you know, our girl Lady Steele can go ahead and elaborate a bit more on the fly. Shout out to her, by the way.
Okay, shout out to Steele.
But I think Chloe might have something to do with it. I'm not trying to say she may be controlling the man, but I think she's kind of influencing his decisions right about this time. And
well,
if you kind of watch the show and match it up with what's going on in the press and the tabloids and everything, it kind of makes sense. And I'll throw it out there before I even give the floor to you again. I'll say publicity. Let me put it like that.
Wow. And you know what? That would not surprise me, considering the fact that one thing that I've heard all the Kardashians mention at some point in time or another, and all of them have said this, I've heard them mention that Kardashian is a brand. And I don't think Lamar understood that. It's not Khloe Kardashian Odom, it's Lamar Odom Kardashian. And that
exactly.
He now falls under the Kardashian umbrella. He is now part of the brand. He's part of he works for the corporation. And I don't even think that he understood that when he married her. And, you know, that's a shame. I believe people, if you're going to get married, because it's just an old, outdated institution that, you know, is not really necessary, and it's just made up just to generate money, just, you know, to get people who couldn't finish college. Let me stop. That's fucked up.
I was about to try to stop you for a second.
But it's just to open up another avenue of another venue of money, period. The amount of money that people spend on weddings, it's just ridiculous. And it's for a ceremony that is not necessary.
There are more things
that bind you. What's the difference? Okay, let me ask you, if anybody's ever been married, and you're welcome to call into the show, Pregame Radio, 347-857-4302. You're more than welcome to call in and answer. But, I mean, what is the difference from the day before the wedding and the day after the wedding? Do the bills change? Does the way you wash your face change? Do you put on both socks at one time now? I mean, really, what is the big difference? There is no difference. There is no difference. It's about having a love and a commitment, a trust and an understanding with another person and being able to share things, good, bad, or otherwise, together. having somebody on your team. That's what it's about. You don't need a paper and some fraudulent-ass man of God to tell you that you're now, you know, joined. You already joined, you know? That's just
right.
My opinion. That is not the opinion of pregame radio.
Yeah, you may want to throw that out there.
That is just the opinion of Eb, no one else. But we're going to get into another song real quick, and actually I'm playing this song because after it's over, I have a story to tell. My girlfriend's probably going to get mad at me, but, you know, well, oh, well, this is how it goes down. Missy, all in my grill.
Cause I would jab thee and slap thee and Bobby Boucher your ass, G. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so That was Missy Elliott and Why You All in My Grill. Now, before I played the song, I said that I mentioned that I had a story that I wanted to tell you. So just to protect the innocent, I will be changing the names in the story. I have this girlfriend. Let's call her Sybil, okay? So Sybil was known to carry a razor. I mean, she walked with a knife, a razor, and she had more than one. You know, she carried several razors. So one night we were out at another girlfriend's house. We had we would have what we used to call ladies' night on every Friday night. We'd get together. We'd cook a meal together. Everybody would have, you know, their specific thing that they did. We would get liquor. Of course, we would have the trees. We'd be burning it down. And we would play cards. We'd play spades or, you know, whatever. We just would have a good time. So this one particular night, Sybil, as you know, was a movie of a woman who had multiple personalities. And so this, the name that I gave my girlfriend using Sybil is quite accurate because she was known to flip the fuck out. I mean, just she would be under the impression that something was going on, someone was conspiring against her, and so she would react accordingly. So this one particular night, we were chilling, you know, in the living room smoking, and she just jumped up out the chair. She just jumped back and grabbed her pocketbook. Now, my other two girlfriends, we'll call them Regina and Niecy. Regina and Niecy, they were afraid of her. You know, they just didn't trust her. So they would back up from her. I was the only one that would approach her, that would deal with her. You know, I would deal with her. You know, I'm going to take you down. So she jumped up and grabbed her pocketbook. Once she grabbed her pocketbook, she started rummaging through it. So we're like, yo, what's the matter? What's going on? What's wrong with you? So she was like, nah, y'all trying to cheat me. Y'all trying to cheat me. Mind you, her and I were partners. Nobody was cheating. They weren't cheating us. We were cheating them. Okay? We always cheated. Regina and Niecy, I guess y'all know that now. We always cheat. So it was like, you know, what happened that made her flip? We just didn't know. So she started emptying out her pocketbook. And I'm like, what you doing? She's like, I'm looking for my razor because I'm getting ready to cut you bitches. So at this point, Regina and Niecy jumped up from the table. And we all jumped up. And I went to rush her. So in the interim of rush her, and this is what was so funny, we were at Regina's house. And she had her grandkids. She had her grandkids come spend the night. So we had bought the mattress from upstairs downstairs, and we just sat it up against the banister. We hadn't even moved it to the back room yet, so it was up against the banister. So it worked out fine because when I rushed her, I was able to push her up against the mattress, and from that point we hit the floor. I knocked her bag out of her hand. We tussled for a little bit, but I told Regina and Niecy, yo, get the razors. Y'all know what she's going for. Get the razors. I'm going to hold her down. I held her down. They looked through her stuff that was on the floor. She's like, get off my bag. Get out my shit. I'm going to kill y'all, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. We hear it all the time. You're going to kill us. You're going to stab us. You're going to cut us up. Uh-huh. I'm playing the violin right now. Keep telling your story. So they found the razors, took them, put them away. I let her go. She jumps up, grabs her pocketbook. At this moment, this song by Missy comes on. The one I just played, While You All in My Grill. And she sat there putting everything back into her pocketbook, and she would look up every now and again and sing this and sing whatever part she was at the song, she would sing this part of the song. And to this day, I cannot hear this song without thinking about the time, well, one of the times this motherfucker tried to cut me. Okay, so I don't know. I don't know if you got friends like Sybil out there. But, look, the best we could do, what I can say to those people is that if you know who your true friends are because they know who you are and they like your ass anyway, you dig? You know what, Spider? Spider, you on the line? Oh, does he have me on mute?
No, I'm on the line. I had it on mute. My bad.
All right, check it out. This is what I'm going to do. Since,
Hey.
since it's me and you, right, on the radio.
Right. Right.
This song, this right here, this me and our, this me and your song for the night, all right?
Okay, not
check
a problem.
Out. Here we go, here we go.
Let me ask you a question, y'all. Would you feel for me?
When I met you, I admit my first thoughts was a trick. You look so good, huh? I suck on your daddy dick. I never felt that way in my life. It didn't take long before I made you my wife. Got no rings and shit, just my main squeeze. Coming to the crib, either had a set of keys. During the day, you helped me bag up my nickel. In the process, I admit, I tricked a little. But you was my bitch, the one that never snitched. Tell me when I'm broke or when I'm filthy fucking rich. And I admit, when the time is right, the wine is right, I treat you right. You talk slick, I beat you right.
Me and my bitch, just me and my bitch.
On the bitch that like to play CeeLo and crack, packing gas in a coach bag, steaming dime bags. A real bitch is all I want, all I ever had. With a box just as strong as me, toting guns just as long as me. The bitch belongs with me. Any plans with another bitch, my bitch is solid. One day she used my toothbrush to clean the toilet. Throwing my clothes out the window, so when the wind blows, I see my polos and Timbos. Hide my car keys so I can't leave. A real slick bitch, keep a trick up her sleeve. And if I deceive, she won't take it lightly. She'll invite me politely to fight G. And then we lie together, cry together. I swear to God, I hope we fucking die together.
Just me and my bitch, 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 just me and my bitch.
She helped me plan out my robberies on my enemies. Didn't hesitate to squeeze to get my life out of danger. One day she put 911 on the pager. Had to call back whether it's minor or major. No response, the phone just rung. Grab my vest, grab my gun to find out the problem. When I pulled up, police was on the scene. Had to make the U-turn, make sure my shit was clean. Drove down the block, stashed the burner in the bushes. Stepped to police with the shoves and the pushes. It didn't take long before the tears start. I saw my bitch dead with the gunshot to the heart. And I know it was meant for me. I guess the niggas felt they had to kill the closest one to me. And when I find them, their life is to an end. They killed my best friend. Me and my bitch.
Me and my bitch. Me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch. Me and my bitch. Just 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 me and my bitch. Me and my bitch. Just me and my bitch.
First start rapping?
I was like about 18 years old. Yeah, about 18.
So how did you first get started? Who influenced you?
Ain't nobody really influenced me, you know what I'm saying? I just was just tired of being on the streets, you know what I'm saying? I had to get up off that, you know?
I see. So where you from?
Brooklyn.
It's how we doing it. It's that new usher. What it is. Y'all niggas catch up. Yeah, man. Bangladesh, US, S. Dot. We don't stop.
Yeah, she keep her mouth closed. Yeah, she's so sexual. Yeah, fuego. I wanna take this boat standing out in DR. A week later eating mangoes out in PR. Okay. I call her Marriott, yeah, she a five star. She seems so close, but she's so far. How about some breakfast? If not, we can do lunch. Forget lunch, baby girl, you could be brunch. You look better than some OJ and Rose. Eggs over easy, damn, I need her body.
No remorse.
She killing me with it. Just a problem that I can't put down. Every
Usher.
Time.
Fuego.
Yeah.
I get it in. I get it in.
She don't know what she do to me.
Girl, this ain't new to me.
The way you move them buns make me want to beat it brutally. See me in that BM. Don't like per diem. Keep it on the hush. Just tweet me in a DM. Drug free. I don't fuck with the ex. And I'm trauma free. I don't fuck with my ex. Twit pick. Damn, you look tough in that dress. And if you play your cards right, I might fuck with you next.
Live with your girl Ab, your boy Shy here. Here we are, pregame radio, 347-857-4302. I had to throw in that extra song. Shout out to the boys, the TGO crew up in Harlem. What's good? How y'all doing? Give us a holler, okay? But yeah, the first song you heard was Beg, Me and My Bitch. And that's a shout out to my co-host this evening because it's me and him holding it down. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? For the evening, I'm you know, it's me and this nigga, and it's him and his bitch for the evening. That's right. I dare you niggas to say something. Say something. Yeah.
Something.
But anyway, so how's the weather down there? I heard that Tennessee or some shit like that is supposed to be getting hurricane tornadoes, and, you know, tornadoes and just bad weather just been tearing up the Midwest for the last 2 weeks or so. How's the weather down there by you?
Well, I have a stepsister out in Houston, Texas, around near the, I guess they call that the Tornado Alley area.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I've heard about. You know, a few tornadoes here and there, and it's been getting pretty bad in the South. But as far as Florida goes, where I'm at in Orlando, it's not that far south, but it's like pretty much in the middle of the state, and it's been beautiful, honestly, to tell you the truth. It's been warm during the day, cool during the night, not too hot, not too cold. It's been drizzling off and on, but
okay.
It's straight. You know, it's some good smoking weather.
That's what's up. Do you have a friend that has a boat?
I got a few friends that have boats, actually. I went out on the water a few months ago, but nothing too serious. I just went out there to see if his boat even worked.
Okay. You fish?
My godfather fishes, and there's a funny story about my godfather. Me and him don't talk anymore, really. Hands were put on each other, you know? So.
Okay.
That's
wow.
Another story to tell one time.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, but you do know how, though.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, that's part of the survivalist handbook.
Yeah, well, you know, I am such a city girl, and I said it's horrible because not that people in the city don't fish. I mean, because I know plenty of people that, you know, they take trips upstate or wherever they go to fish. And I've been invited a couple of times, but I haven't gone. But it's something that I said I would really enjoy doing, just to be out that time of morning where the air is fresh, and clear, and there's like a crisp, it's not cold, it's not chill, but it's like a crispness to the air, and everything is just quiet. You know, I could definitely see myself getting into that, and I also have aspirations to, you know, catch a prize-winning size mackerel or two.
Well, you know, honestly, when my dad came over from Jamaica when I was still little, there's actually a few places in New York you can go, and I know personally that you're close to two of them. If you ever want to go fishing and go fishing without being embarrassed about what you catch and what you don't catch, you can always head out to either Battery Park, you can head out to Brooklyn Terrace, or you can head out to, Battery Park, Brooklyn Terrace, and the piers, the museum pier where they have the little ships and everything. They allow you to fish off of the dock. You can bring whatever pole you want, whatever bait you want, and anything you catch you can keep. You know, it's pretty much where a lot of people in the city go with their kids to take them fishing for the first time. First time I went out there, I was 6 years old. I went to Battery Park with my father when he first came over from Jamaica, and I caught like three fish on the same line. It's not like they're not biting out there. A lot of people think because it's New York, you're going to get something disgusting, but it's actually a good place to, if you're in the city and you have kids and you want them to experience catching at least one fish, those are the three best places I know of to go to.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going to have to check it out. And I know about the Battery City one because my a friend of mine, her fiance used to operate the water taxi that went back and forth from Battery City to Liberty City in Jersey. You know, and they got the park area, they got the restaurants and seafood places and shit like
restaurants.
Yeah, and it's like really nice over there, and not for nothing, but you know, and he doesn't work for them anymore, so to hell with y'all. But we used to, being that he drove the taxi, we would ride back and forth. And we would sit on the top and smoke and shit. Oh man, we used to have such a good, time. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely something that you might want to try, folks out there in the New York area, hitting up Battery Park and taking a water taxi across the water to Jersey to Liberty City. And you know, like I said, they have restaurants, cooking areas for grills and stuff, picnic areas. They have parks and stuff. You know, like little gym equipment and stuff for the kids. You know, it's a nice, cool, different type of atmosphere, and it's like 20 minutes away. You know what I mean? So that's what it is.
Do you mind me shouting something out real quick?
No, go ahead.
All right. Well, first of all, everybody who understands how the calendar looks, April 20th down in Battery Park, there's always an event in New York that the one day that a few like-minded people get together and enjoy themselves during April 20th. So make sure you head out there. You might want to look for my personal tattoo artist. His name is Robert. He's a African-American and Japanese cat. He works at Brooklyn Tattoo down in right off of Atlantic Avenue on the 3 train. He works on State Street. That's where the shop is. Great artist. There's a bunch of artists in there. If you have like-minded ideas as far as concerning what you're going to create, I mean, don't just go in there and ask, hey, I want a 5-point star because it looks cool. No, come in there with your spirit. Come in there with your heart. Because when you get a tattoo, remember, it's permanent. Regardless of all these laser removal crap, remember, you have to go through it. So if you're going to pick something to ink yourself with, make sure it's something that means something to you. And these guys will refuse to put something on your body unless you know what you're putting on your body. That's one thing. They're going to be out there on 420. And also, I want to go ahead and give a shout-out to a real good friend of mine, Damon McCray. He's having a birthday party at Trinity Place at 113... 1300 Broadway Avenue, April 21st, the day after 420. he's having a birthday party. So go out there, go ahead and tell them that Spider-Man sent you from Pregame Radio. He'll cut you a deal, you know what I'm saying? He's having a birthday party out there all night. Grown and sexy, though. None of that kid stuff. All right?
That's what's up. And what's your first name again, the one from Brooklyn Tattoo?
My homeboy, my personal artist. All the tattoos that I have on my body have been done by one person since I've been 17, and his name is Robert. He's a African-American Japanese cat. He has two sons. He's been doing this for a long time. He won a competition in 2008, I believe, as one of the top 100 artists within New York City. So he's definitely somebody to look for, definitely. And as long as you go ahead and go in there and be like, hey, the dude with the huge-ass spider on his back sent me, he'll cut you a deal most definitely.
That's what's up. So shout out to him, definitely. And yeah, that's what's in order. So we're going to get into a couple of songs. We're just going to chill, you know, let it do what it do. It is Pregame Radio, and we are a music radio, not talk radio. So let's get to some music.
Let me tell you about the feelings I've been for you when I try or make some sort of attempt. I simp, Damn, I wish I wasn't such a wimp. Cause then I would let you know that I loved you so, and if I was your man, then I would beat you. The only lying I would do was in the bed with you. Gonna turn to Tim is the one who loves you dearly. He has loved me tender. But the latter came back 3 days later. We turned to cinder. Damn.
Bucket, foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land, getting smoke with my kids.
fuck in smoke. Yuck, I spray your layer down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down to blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the VSOP up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's stroller. I'm the roller, that's with the folder. Blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed, is all you need. Kicking feet, cause we're IVs, we need half like a foo-foo.
Money and ain't paid yet. Fuck that. Come on,
on your shoe. Wow. Ow. That was the Locks, Wild Out. Before that, you heard the Loonies, and I Got Bob on it. And prior to that, the first song we played was Passing Me by the group Clawside. They were from California, and I remember when they came out in the early 90s, and they were definitely bringing a different sound. The music was laid back. It was on some, you know, jazz cafe type shit. Just you sit back and just chill and listen to that shit. But, you know, that's how it goes down. Pre-game radio, you're live with your girl, Eb, filling in for Brooklyn Black and co-hosting Shia all the way from Florida. And, Shia, let me ask a question. We haven't discussed it. I don't know if you and Black discussed it, but you and I haven't. And being that you're down there, I'm interested in your opinion. But what about this Trayvon thing? You're down there. You're down there. You're privy to more, I would say, more pertinent information than the rest of us, because we're relying on the news, and, you know, they're only going to feed us what they want us to know so that we can, so they can bias our opinions of the case. So, you know, tell me, what's the latest going on, and how do you feel about the whole thing?
Well, I mean, the latest that's the latest information that's popping off right now is pretty much everything that you know. You know, he's being charged officially for two. He pretty much, yeah. Honestly, this is the way it is right now. He's being charged with murder too, because the public wants him charged with something. That was the entire thing, and that was the entire problem in the first place, that he wasn't charged with anything. Now that he's charged, people are attempting to find something else to basically complain about regarding this dude. Now, my personal opinion, I hate the idea that this entire thing got turned into practically another race war. You know, my personal opinion is this, simple and clean cut. His initiation with Trayvon, and I'm speaking about Zimmerman, was it based on his perception of race in a whole? Of course. Yeah, he basically profiled. That's understood. But did he do what he did because the boy was African American? I don't believe so. Also, do I believe he should be charged? Yes, I do. Clearly, it was told to him by the police department to not pursue, but he still did. Do I believe somebody within the Sanford department should be investigated dealing with this entire incident? Yeah, definitely. They did their best to pretty much put Mr. Zimmerman in a positive light, so this wouldn't get anywhere else. They tried to sweep this under the rug, and when it hit the public, that's when they realized they were in trouble. The entire thing about it for me is that most people are just making it about race. Oh, another black boy killed by a white person. A lot of people have been ignoring the fact that Zimmerman is actually partially of Hispanic descent, and they continuously are going along with this whole media crunch where everyone wants to blame a white person for killing a black person. I personally do not believe that's the case here whatsoever. They're blowing it out of proportion. Did he do something wrong? In my opinion, yes. Should he be charged with something? Yes. Let the justice system work out from there, regardless of how you feel about it. Because honestly, the way I see it is, justice system worked out for OJ. Why? Not saying whether he did it or not, but why did it work for him? They couldn't prove that he did it without a reasonable doubt. Okay, he got off. Same with Case Anthony. They couldn't prove without a reasonable doubt that she did it. She got off. It'll be the same situation with this. whether they can prove without a reasonable doubt that he had ill intent in his heart to actually premeditate this entire situation, or rather he killed the boy without determining that, oh, he's black, so I'm going to do this, or he's a hoodlum, so I'm going to do this. Yeah, I doubt he'll be charged with something based on race. I do believe he needs to be charged because he had a lapse in judgment. So. And that's pretty much how the general consensus is out here in Florida. Like most people feel that he was wrong, but it wasn't based on any personally driven malintentions towards a specific race.
Okay, well, you know, I am of somewhat of, I agree with some of your points.
Right.
One, I want to say that I believe it just really, first of all, I'm just going to start with the stand your ground law. And that is a law that they should have had a little more foresight and weighed the pros versus the cons better. Now, I can understand putting this law into effect if at some point there was a situation where homes were being broken into on a regular basis, people were being killed or harmed or kidnapped or, you know, just any, I can, you know, there was just a outbreak of home invasions in a particular
right.
area. Then I can understand that law being used, you know, then it would be appropriate. And being at a stand your ground, and it's supposed to just cover the fact that someone coming into your home or being on your property and you having the right to defend your property, this man, George Zimmerman, he was not on his property. And if he was
right.
on his property, Trayvon was not trespassing on Mr. Zimmerman's property. That's number one. Number
right.
two, I'm not going to say that it has anything completely to do with racism, but I will say race played a factor for the simple fact that had this had been a white man or a young Hispanic man, because, you know, yes, George Zimmerman is Hispanic, but if you know your history, that you know the Hispanic people had slaves, okay?
Right.
They transported slaves back and forth, so let's not act like they weren't against us, okay? Let's not even take it there. Let's act like they didn't do. Let's not act like they didn't do what they did. But moving forward, it's the mindset that Trayvon was even perceived to be a threat simply because he was a young black male is the main factor that contributed to his death, just because
right.
of what Zimmerman perceived him to be. And that goes to him having a mindset of black men or black people in particular being or behaving a certain way. So that he had his own, he was acting on his own preconceived notion of what he thought Trayvon was, which was a threat. When in all reality, the police, he was told not to follow him. Let the
right.
professionals handle it. Do not follow him. He just totally, he more or less said, fuck you. And he followed him anyway. Now, if this is a gated community and he is captain of their police force or block watch or community watch or whatever, in gated communities, I thought that, you know, people knew each other because they had to have shareholders meetings, and every time somebody moved into the neighborhood, they had to be introduced to the other families. It was something that had, it was more of a consensus on who was coming into the community. So how could he not have been aware of the fact that this boy was going to someone's house that he knew in the community? He wasn't acting suspicious. He wasn't going up to windows and peeping in and hiding and ducking behind bushes. He was out in the street on his way walking home. It's as simple as that. And if he followed him, he should have followed him from a distance further away than what it was, or he should have just stayed where he was and watched to see what where the boy went. I mean, if Trayvon was doing something, what could he have actually got done from the time that he got to a home and started to do something from the point that Zimmerman recognized what he was doing and then went to see what had happened? You know what I mean? Like I said, it was his preconceived notion of Trayvon as a young black man being a threat. And it's a shame because a life is lost now. A life is lost. Zimmerman, people are going to say that he's going to jail. And I just really would not be surprised if he did not, simply because we know how Florida gets down. We know how they politicians and they judicial. We know, and it would not surprise me to say that, for them to say, you know what, we're going to release him simply for the fact that this case was tried in the public eye before it even had a chance to go to court, and therefore he cannot have a fair trial anywhere in the world, so we're going to have to just let it go.
Exactly.
And that is when shit is going to really, that's when shit gets real. I want people to know that. Be that the verdict. Shit is going to get real. And I got to say, like I said, the law would work in a different set of circumstances, and there has to be certain amendments to it. Everybody just can't go the fuck around. If that was the case, then, people say that if everybody had a gun, then there would be less crime. There would be less crime because there'd be more dead people. You know what I'm saying? There'd be less crime because there'd be more dead people. Let's keep it funky. You know what I mean? Let's keep it funky. Let's be real. I just my concern and my heart is with his mother.
Right.
I know his father is suffering, and that's his dad, but I'm a mother, and I got a son that exact age, and up here in New York, things is crazy. The cops is, they're gun happy as well, and they're on alert because they're getting shot at. I don't know if you heard, but like last week, 4 cops got shot.
After
this one guy, this one dude, this is in Brooklyn. He had his baby with him. His baby was in a stroller, and he was with the child's mother. And they were coming back from someplace, and someone was moving into the building, and they had the door blocked. They said he started banging the baby stroller against the barrel that was blocking the door. So, the baby's mother was like, come on, what are you doing? There's a baby in a stroller. Just chill, be cool. So he had words with one of the guys, and then he pulled out a gun. And the two guys ran off. He chased one to the truck, and the other one just went somewhere else. So the one that ran to his truck, he called the police. By this time, he took his girlfriend and the baby hostage in the girlfriend's apartment. So after about an hour of holding them hostage, the girlfriend was able to snatch the baby and escape the apartment. After that, of course, the police was like, all right, it's just this motherfucker in there now. We're going to go ahead and we're going to rush this nigga. And they went in, and he let off shots, and he shot 4 cops. So, like I said, I'm sure it's more to the story, and, you're only going to hear or read or see what it is that they want you to hear or read or see. But it's hard. As a mother, to send your child, especially a young black child, out into the street, not knowing what could happen, because everyone would say, "Oh, that can't happen to me," and you're wrong. For people, you're wrong for saying that. Not me, not me. When you better stop and think and be like, "Why not me?" It could happen. We can all be touched. Never forget that.
Right.
We could all be touched. It could go down. All right. So peace and love to Trayvon Martin's family. Support of the community. We are hoping that justice is served for all parties involved. And black people, if you're going to do what you're going to do, remember, you don't shit where you eat. Make sure if you're going to really take that energy, you're going to take that energy and you're going to make it work for you, not against you. Here we go.
For real.
Play the back, but the way your treatment goes like a heart attack. I'm a real cute love that had never been found. You gave me your heart, I gave you my mind, but a true love affair we could never find. Although I want you bad, I can let you go, cause there's a lot of girls out there that won't say no. Don't choose the fact that I want you, Jackie. I want you more than human eyes can see. But you hadn't got killing, trying to make a killing. Thought about the dollars I make and you were willing to be with me, Bobby B. But with a bad attitude, I can't compete. Now you know my name, now I know your game. You want to be with me, you gotta be the same way that another girl would be. And if you want to be with me, don't be close.
You're back, Ma, with your girl, Ab and Shia on pregame radio, 347-857-4302. And you just heard Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel. I played that for Brooklyn Black as a shout-out. That's one of our little in-house jokes where I ask him to do something for me, and he'll tell me no. And I'll break out into this song, into the chorus of this song, which usually starts him laughing, and he'll go ahead and do what it was that I asked him to do anyway. It's a trick, y'all. It's a trick. I've embedded something in his brain so that he responds to the Bobby Brown Don't Be Cruel song. It works every time. But anyway, we were just discussing the Trayvon Martin case, and though we are of different opinion, we are of the same opinion. Would you agree, Shia? Would you agree, Spider?
As far as we are of the same opinion regarding,
as far as how the case is proceeding and how it can proceed and what the outcome could be, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. It's something that was obviously all right. Let me put it into terms like this. The catalyst was race, but what allowed it to continue burning beyond race is the perception of what racism is. Is Zimmerman racist in my eye? No.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to disagree with you as far as what the catalyst is. The catalyst was the fact that they tried to push it under the rug and didn't even arrest him in the first place.
No, here's it.
Had they arrested him, race would have never been an issue. The fact that he was not arrested, he was at the precinct, gave a flim-flam story, had been already told by the police not to follow him, followed him, and fired a weapon. He should have been, if he had been arrested, race would have never been the issue, just the facts. But the fact remains, he did all of this and was not arrested. And what liable reason can you possibly come up with as to why he was not apprehended? Why?
And this happened.
Why was he not arrested? That was the catalyst, not the race thing. Him not being arrested for shooting a kid dead in the street.
Yes, and that's something I see. This is where we're on the same side, but looking through different colored shades. Because the thing is, I understand what the catalyst should be. All right? Now, the catalyst should be that this man fired rounds into a boy who is unarmed. That's what the catalyst should be. Race should not be a determining factor in this. But it became a determining factor because this man is light-skinned and that boy is dark-skinned. Also, not only that, but it also was swept under the rug by a predominantly Caucasian-owned and driven police department. Sanford, for people that do not know and do not live within the Central Florida area, which is largely Orlando, Sanford is, I believe it's 76% Caucasian, and it between the final the final 24% it's split between black and Hispanic, you know, and it's not something where I can stand and say that, oh, he shot this kid because he was black. No, it's not because he was black. He approached the kid because of his perception of what a black child, quote unquote, or today's black urban child is perceived to be. And yes, that is a problem. That I say that's the catalyst because that's what gave him the idea that, oh, this kid is up to something. And quote unquote, from the recording, the police state recording, they always get away. Obviously, he was speaking about a particular perception of what he knew to be the quote unquote black thug or the child, the adolescent thug. Now, as far as what should be focused on, I agree with you on that. Of course, that's what the catalyst should be. But is that what the catalyst is? Let's get down into a little deep part of it. And you're more familiar with this than I am. And my mother was actually a member back in the 70s. Once you get the Black Panthers involved, you know they already have it in their head that it's whatever issue they're fighting against is based on race. It's going to be, no matter what. Regardless of whether their end game is supposed to be the positivity of all races or not. The point is, the most reason they'll always get involved into something is because a black man or woman has, in their eyes, been discriminated against. And that's not what I believe happened at all. That's honestly how I feel. Did the man go after the boy because he was black? Yes. But did he do it? Did he shoot the kid because, oh, I'm going to shoot myself another nigger and get... No, that's not the case whatsoever. That's how I feel. Like you said, the main issue should be that this grown man shot a teenager, a man, not a white or Hispanic man, but a man, shot a boy, not a black or white boy, but a boy, who was unarmed. That is the issue. And that's what people are failing to see all across the country.
Well, hold on one second. We got another caller, area code 347, last four digits, 3490. You're on the line with Ab and Shah, pregame radio. Who's on calling? Who's on the line? Who are you? Where you calling from?
It's Lady Steele.
Hey,
oh,
Steele.
Shit.
Alex, what's good? You see, Black has this new switchboard, so there's no number saved. Before, your number came up with your name, and I knew who.
Oh, no, I have a new number, that's why.
Oh, okay, what's going on? So you listening into the show this evening?
I just called in because I just realized the time.
Okay, so we were just discussing the Trayvon Martin case. I asked Shaw for his opinion, being that he is down there and he's in the thick of it, more or less. And we, of course, of all different opinion, as we usually are here on pregame radio, but that's just how it goes. Would you like to add on or voice your opinion about the situation?
It's a media circus. That's all I see.
Do you, we were discussing that, well, I said that I wouldn't be surprised, and Shah agreed with me, if Zimmerman was acquitted on the charges, simply because we are all familiar with how the state of Florida operates as far as doing the right thing and doing what they want to do and, you know, having bending the law to the way they see fit. But I said I wouldn't be surprised if he got away with it simply because the judges there would state that he was tried in the courts of the public before, and he never really had a chance in a court of law, so they have no choice.
Well,
guess
what? He did this on February 26th, and he didn't get arrested until, like, this week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
45 days.
He's going to be tried in the public. Like, who wouldn't? And they only arrested him because it was a public outrage. If they let him go, let him go. Whatever. There's a lot of bounties on his head. I hope that he never nobody ever recognizes them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's a sad state of affairs, and my heart is really with his mom, and it's just ridiculous that because of, just because of how it's going down, that, you know, there's a possibility that she may not get just, you know, what he deserves for murdering her son, because it was murder, regardless of how you look at it. It wasn't manslaughter. When you pull out a gun and you put your finger on the trigger, you know the outcome. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And even though we are evolving as a people, no one's developed bulletproof skin yet. So you know, when you shoot a hot rock into flesh, there's a possibility that somebody could die. And if he was, in fact, the head of this security thing, then don't you have to go through a certain training? Don't you have to know? And if he got his
firearm, it's called Neighborhood Watch. Neighborhood Watch is just supposed to be, you know, you call the authorities, you let them handle it. Vigilante justice, like, he has to, somebody has to set an example, because then when other people go out there and just start killing people just because for the hell of it, then they'll learn.
Yeah, you really can't. And I'm curious, like I said, I'm curious to know that if this was a gated community, why wasn't he familiar with whom Trayvon is? I mean, we know for a fact these communities aren't but so big in the first place. And even if it is community watch, I mean, the gun law of, you know, being able to protect yourself applies to your home and your property, not to somebody you follow randomly in the street. You know, if he had just listened, and it which is ironic, he had just obeyed the law, which told him not to follow him, you know, this wouldn't have happened. You know, so is fucked up, and I'm, you know.
Well, that and the simple fact that he's being protected, that's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting to see the way this case turns out. I'm just, you know, I'm hoping for some peace for Trayvon's mom, you know. I'm hoping, you know, something, you know, she's
they have big hearts. They have really big hearts because they've been handling themselves very well throughout this whole ordeal.
Yes, with class and dignity. I definitely got to say that even people they've been acting, even people they've on their behalf, I've got to say, have been, you know, people have been trying to do it the peaceful way. Even though I don't always agree with peaceful, because sometimes that don't get you nowhere. But you know, I'm glad that they're doing it on behalf of his family. You got to do that, you know. So is there anything in particular either one of you guys would like to hear? Because it's 11:42. We're going to be winding it down soon. So any requests?
No, not really. I was just calling to check up on you guys. Mm-hmm. Well,
thank you for calling in. It's been a great show. Oh, we have another caller on the line first. Area code 347, last four digits 8702. Caller, you're on your line. State your name and where you're calling from.
What's going on? You already know what look like.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You sound like you're far away. Can you put your mouth to the phone?
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
How
y'all doing?
What's up, son?
I'm over here holding it down at this rooftop party. Being kind of hectic, they got beer pong and all this craziness over here. So, everybody in Brooklyn on the check-in, 844 Myrtle Ave. Come through, it's nice little refinement going down over here.
That's what's up.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, you know, we had a great show, son. Shy's been here since the, you know, the start of the show. We've been kicking it, playing music, doing commentary. It would have been nice if you could have called in a little earlier at the beginning of our conversation, but it's all good. If you want to check in now, and that's what's up. That's what's
up. I'm here now, you know, so... You know, doing it after at this party, checking in with you guys. Big shout out to Ash and Shaka for holding it down for me tonight. And next Friday, I'll be over here at the Faith Palace for the 420 party. And they said I'm at the Fairman Club with Beanie Siegel. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And a lot of, there'll be a lot more admins getting more spend time and spin-offs are coming back and things of that nature going down this week.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, I'm glad. Well, you know, we got Steele on the line, too. She called in to check on us as well.
How's she feeling today?
She sounds like a bachelor collector. That's what she sounds like.
That sounds like a what?
I said you sound like your thoughts are collected today.
No, I'm sober. I'm sober.
You know, you don't sound too happy about being sober. You sound like that's a bad thing, like, I'm sober.
That sounds like a conversation that needs to be had on Dr. Drew.
Oh, whatever. You're one of the about sobriety.
Okay, well, you too. Look, I'll let you duke it out behind the scenes. We're going to get into another song real quick. And nice jam I like. And I'm sure you guys are going to like it, too. We'll be back. Pre-game radio,
I'm money's up, I'm making my dummy rock if I go broke.
Telling me to do what I gotta do, so I'm a pipe a nigga down tonight. And I'm always running for the boys in blue. Biggie boots on my ass, now we're out the telephone, the car phone was hiding. Grab artillery, niggas all packing. Cause a motherfucker tried to get me in the jacket, and I did him. Hit him right between the eyes, spots, wise. Wanna test a nigga's size, then he cost a nigga. Fuck around with the wrong shit, y'all get moved, murdered all day, all day. We done played away, and I'm on the run. I'ma call my boys to bring out the gun. Y'all niggas wanna have a little fun, but number one,
winding down. It's your girl, Ab. I want to thank Shy and Spider. I appreciate you so very much for holding me down, co-hosting the show. It's been a pleasure. Thank
Most
you.
Definitely.
And we'll do it again, I'm sure, in the upcoming weeks because, like I said, Brooklyn Black is the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and he's got several things coming down the pipe. And that means the other admins, myself, we're going to have to step our game up and come out from behind the shadows and put ourselves out on Front Street, just like Brooklyn Black does every Friday and Saturday, 10 to 12, pre-game radio, blog talk radio. We're about to wind it down. Shaz, anything else, any end comments you would like to put out there, say goodnight to anyone, shout out anyone, tell anyone to kiss your ass?
The whole world can kiss my ass, but not. Dude. Again, I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to my boy Black. Thank you for letting me show my face last night on the birthday, on the anniversary show, and going ahead and put my voice out there tonight. Also, I want to give a shout-out to my boy, Mirko, who's the owner and one of the main administrators to the website, www.superherohype.com. He allowed me the opportunity to watch the red carpet premiere of The Avengers on Wednesday night. Go see that movie May 4th. It's hot. Real talk.
That's what it is.
And also, I got my shout-out to my boy, Damon, my boy, D., birthday at Trinity Place, 11300 Broadway, April 21st. But also, please do not forget my boss's spot with Beanie Siegel on April 21st as well. Look out on the pregame radio site and Facebook and blog and Twitter to find out exactly what's going on with that. And that's pretty much all I got to say. Oh, and of course, shout out to you, Ed. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you so much. So with that being said, we're going to call it a night. Join us next week here at Pregame Radio. Your boy Brooklyn Black should be back to host. And if not, then I'll be here. And maybe Spider, too. We've got to see what's going on. Good night. As Brooklyn Black would say, ladies, don't fall for the scam. Protect your clan, fellas. Don't be wait.
No, no, right.
Wait,
hold on. Wrap it up. Don't drive drunk.
Don't
be a designated driver.
Protect you too.
Word up.
Don't drink and drive or rob a lot. All right, so look, that's how we doing it this evening. It's your girl, Abby Spider, Free Game Radio. Thank you, and deuces.
When you say you love me, it doesn't matter. It goes into my head as just chit-chatter. You may think it's egotistical or just very free, but what you say, I take none of it seriously. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you so. I'd let you pretend to read me, and then you'd know. Because I hate when one attempts to analyze fact I despise. Those who even try to look into my eyes to see what I am thinking. That dream is over, your yacht is sinking. I tell all of you like I told all of them. What you say to me is just paper thin. Girl to try to play a man out, I take the money and again then break the hell out. No, that's not my strategy, not the game I play. I admit I play a game, but it's not done that way. Truly, when I get involved, I give it my heart. I mean, my mama sold my body, I mean every part. But if it doesn't work out, yo, it just doesn't. It wasn't meant to be, you know, it just wasn't. So I treat all of you like I treat all of them, and what you say to me is still paper thin. In one ear and right out the other, hurdles mumble jumble. Lover, I don't pay attention, I don't concentrate. You ain't got the bait that it takes to hook this. Fucker, you missed. I put feelings aside. I know who I am. My name is Light. Is your name Sam? Cause if it is, step off, grab your coat and get lost. Wrap your scarf around your throat and go back and catch the boat and hit the road, Sam. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Sam. Don't you come back no more. So now I take precautions when choosing my mate. I do not touch. Till the third or fourth date, and then maybe your kiss on the fifth or sixth time that we meet. Cause a date without a kiss is so incomplete, and then maybe I let you play with my feet. You can suck the big toe and play with the middle. It's so simple, unlike a riddle. It's as easy as counting a one, two, three. In other terms, letters L-Y-T-E. I tell you, 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 and all of you in the back and in the middle and the front. Yo, that's it, paper thin, word up. So like, check it out. DJ K Rock in the place to be.
Hit the road.